for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. There is an arrest in the murder of JonBenet Ramsey. CBS News has learned it was not anyone in the family. A man already arrested in Bangkok, Thailand on unrelated sex charges.
CBS News has learned that the suspect is a 41-year-old American, a school teacher, taught second grade in different parts of the world. Authorities became suspicious of him with a series of emails sent over the years talking about the JonBenet murder case.
Doug Longini is a producer for CBS 48 Hours. It was 1996. Six-year-old JonBenet was taken to the basement of her own home, tied up, beaten, and strangled on the day after Christmas. Her parents lived under a cloud of suspicion. Armchair detectives had a field day. Patsy Ramsey, JonBenet's mother, died of cancer in June. John Ramsey, her father, now in Atlanta, says he's very happy to learn of it, only wishes his wife were alive to see it. Security alert at the port in Seattle, Washington, where a half-mile circle has been evacuated. This after a trained dog sniffed something that could be explosive, still unconfirmed. Nearly 5 years later, it is still tough to listen to the September 11th emergency calls from people who did not make it out.
I'm going
to
die.
Ma'am, say your prayers. And we're not going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
Stay calm.
Please, calm.
God.
You're doing a good job, ma'am.
It's so hot. I'm burning up.
She was on the 83rd floor of the South Tower, which was engulfed in flame before the building fell. The tapes were released after months of fighting by families of some of the victims to make them public. The jury says it is stuck in the David Pissarro case. Pissarro is the former CIA contractor on trial for beating an Afghan detainee who later died. Judge Terrence Boyle in Raleigh, North Carolina, has not decided yet whether to tell the jury to keep working or to declare the jury hung on the case. The Coast Guard and the DEA raided a yacht off the coast of Southern California.
DEA received information that this vessel, Doc Holliday, was approximately 15 nautical miles off the shore of La Paz, Mexico. And acting on this lead, the DEA requested that the United States Coast Guard interdict the vessel.
That's Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty. He says a big fish in the drug world has been caught, Javier Arellano Felix. He faces a long list of big-time smuggling charges. For 1/2 hour today in Radcliffe, Kentucky, a gas station had fuel for sale at $1.20 a gallon. The line of voters stretched for blocks. Voters being the point. A Democrat running for Congress organized it to try to blame his Republican incumbent opponent in Congress for high gasoline prices. On Wall Street, the Dow soared almost 97 points today. The Nasdaq gained 34.5 points. And those oil prices, they came down by $1.16 a barrel to $71.89. This is CBS News.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner-city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. Come in now and get great savings on Goodyear and Michelin tires during our national automotive sale. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. CLNs 826-06.
Our solar system just got a little more crowded. Think of it this way. 12 planets in the space that used to hold just 9.
So after months of debate, the International Astronomical Union has proposed a new definition for what makes up a planet, giving the solar system at least 12 planets, not 9, and ultimately more. The new definition says the body must be massive enough for its own gravity to pull it into a roughly spherical shape, and it must be in orbit around a star, not in orbit around another planet. So the moon is not a planet, but the asteroid Ceres, which is much smaller, is.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood. To say that Kevin Holder is very well known to the police in Lincoln, Nebraska, is understating the case. He was chased down last Sunday morning with burglary tools. It was his 226th arrest. His rap sheet is 43 pages long, and he's not even close to having the record. Edward Rooks, who died in 2004, had been arrested 652 times during his petty criminal career in Nebraska. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC. You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. Come in now and get great savings on Goodyear and Michelin tires during our national automotive sale. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LNZ 2606.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the radio talk show nobody asked for. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And even if you didn't ask for it, I'm glad you're listening. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And we got a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours. Room for your phone calls as well. We're going to skip around the globe, if you don't mind. First off, we're going to start in the great state of California and talk about the troubled Department of Corrections. It now costs us more than the higher education budget, and it's still in deep, deep trouble. We're going to talk to two people on the front lines in the Department of Corrections coming up in this half hour. Then, Professor Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law returns to our program. She's going to comment on the terror plot that they allegedly busted up in Britain last week. Already a lot of second-guessing going on. Then we're going to take you live to Beirut, Lebanon before the end of this hour and talk to American reporter David Enders. He's been down to the Litani River and to the flattened town of Bint Jebail. He'll give us a first-person account coming up before the end of the hour. Then we'll get some commentary on the Middle East from Stephen Zunis, professor of politics from the University of San Francisco. And he has written a powerful piece slamming the Democrats for their support for Israel's military actions recently. And Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor of RawStory.com, will join us in our second hour. And she's written a piece recapping the U.S. contretemps with Iran. And we'll give her a chance to expand on that and talk about other issues that she's been covering recently, too. And in our final hour, the Free Speech Zone, wide open for your phone calls on any issue from any viewpoint. And you know the toll-free number. It's a new one, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And if you'd like to email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com is your best bet. The Peter at peterbcollins.com is full, and we haven't been able to get all that spam out of there. So if you'd like to email me, it's humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Our radio program is available to inmates of state penitentiaries at Soledad. Our radio program is available to inmates of state penitentiaries at Soledad, at Pelican Bay, at Folsom, and on a really good day, people are listening in the two prisons in Vacaville.
There'll be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it. So we're getting up and going down.
Now, while I do not countenance jailbreaks,
right to left.
The prison system is well past capacity. It's over 200%, and at some institutions, it's even higher. And for the individuals who work for the Department of Corrections, It's got to be really, really difficult. Let's find out. Joining me right now is Nancy Lierla. She is a registered nurse who works at the Preston...
In fact, it's just recently straightened out a little bit with the age, but we have been known to have what we call wards up to age 23 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, because of some changes, on the average... 18 or 19 is probably the max. We do get them as young as 13 or 14, but they don't stay at Preston. It's an overnight thing, and then they go to another facility that can handle the younger wards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's generally 15 to 19 is the population.
Right.
And these, of course, are some of the toughest juveniles in the state, some gang members, some people who have been involved in the drug trade, and very street smart, shall we say.
Yes.
And that has to present challenges to people like you who are simply trying to do your job and serve these wards as best as possible. What are some of the challenges you face dealing with this population?
Well, ironically, the understaffing for medical care is probably one of the more difficult issues to deal with daily, because they do require care, and it is mandated by the courts because of our the issues of not being able to hire staff, both doctors, nurses, you know, lab techs,
mm-hmm.
X-ray, whatever, you name it. So it becomes a real challenge in trying to maintain their top medical care.
And why can't we hire new staff? The budget for CDC is over $6 billion.
It's interesting that, as far as I understand it, up until recently, the juvenile justice system did not even have their own medical allotted money. It came doled out from Sacramento. So what we ended up with was whatever was left. But also, interestingly, is you have to understand that nursing is not a position where you go to work for juveniles or adults in custody. And so it's a training and a learning process, and a lot of times it's too difficult for nurses that are, you know, the nurse that gives. You have to change your mindset. Not that we don't do absolute perfect care, but you have to learn the parameters and learn your safety and to keep it really clear messages to these kids.
We're talking with Nancy Lierla. She's a registered nurse. She works in the Department of Corrections here in California, assigned to the Preston Youth Authority Center in Ione. How long have you been working for the Department of Corrections, Nancy?
Just over 8 years.
8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, things have gotten better, been about the same, gotten worse? What's your characterization?
In some ways, it's really gotten worse. I think it's because of the news coverage and the negative stuff that way. It puts a real burden on us because we do care and we are trying. It's the people in the trenches that are making the effort. But on the other hand, I don't see any movement in administrative, even to the governor, who doesn't help the understaffing by addressing it. And we miss out on a lot of training because we're not able to take the time off because we are understaffed.
Mm-hmm. Now, how understaffed are you? Are you at 30%, 50%? How would you describe
that? Each institution has their own, you know, criteria or what they need. And I would say that, generally speaking, I think juvenile justice is probably one of the better staff. That doesn't mean we're fully staffed. But in an example is that we have a retired annuitant who, that means they've already retired from the state and they come back to work for us. And then we have registry that cover for us. So it's not like we're as understaffed, but a place like San Quentin or Folsom or some of those others can be as much as 30% to 70% short of nurses.
Wow.
So it becomes a real issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your experience to date with the court-ordered receivership of the medical system inside the Department of Corrections? They appointed Robert Sillen,
yes.
Who used to run the Santa Clara Valley Public Health System,
yes.
To essentially take over. And I imagine he's still getting oriented. Has he started to take any steps and actually made any policy or structural changes?
Well, in fact, I've met with the receiver and so has the union several times, and we are really attempting to help him understand what's going on at the trenches, as you say, and I feel that he's really willing to listen. I think he's done more than just listen. He is starting to make real inroads.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, he has a huge undertaking that has taken 70 years to get this CDCR in this position, and I don't know how quickly he can help, but yeah. I know that he wants to, and I feel that he is making the right moves, the right changes.
Well, I happen to know Bob Sillin from before he took this position, and he is a very bright guy.
Yeah.
He does listen, and he's going to take aggressive steps. I have great confidence in that. Nancy, if you can hold on, we're going to take a break, and I want to talk with you further. If our listeners have any comments or questions about the inner workings of the Department of Corrections and what it's like to report for a job there every day offering medical care to inmates or juvenile wards, you can give us a call right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
It's time for the Monterey County Fair. August 15th through the 20th. On Tuesday night, don't miss Grammy Award-winning Asleep at the Wheel. On Wednesday, it's Kurt recording artist Billy Dean. Thursday night is Tower of Power. On Friday night, it's Santana's original lead singer, Greg Raleigh. Saturday night, the new Battle of the Bands. And on Sunday, enjoy the Chicano All-Stars and other great Latin bands. Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. Buy your tickets online at montereycountyfair.com or call 372-5863.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Sundays. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking about the problems in the Department of Corrections. $6.5 billion we devote to prisons in this state. And it's not enough. It's a big mess. We have 200% population in aging facilities. We have an aging prison population, many of whom were convicted for nonviolent offenses. And we also have a segment of the population that is over the age of 60 and is both less of a threat to the general population and more expensive to care for in their senior years. So it's a very serious problem. The governor has recognized it and has called a special session of the legislature that started last week. The governor's proposal is to build more prisons, too, for a cost of roughly $4 billion. And to add a few other items, one of which I support, which is enhanced reentry programs for individuals coming out of the state prison system. We continue with Nancy Lierla. She's a registered nurse, 8 years now working for the Department of Corrections, currently assigned at the Preston Youth Authority Center in Ione, California. And Nancy, as you look at the picture, is the legislature and the governor, are they looking at the right issues, the issues that you deal with every day?
Well, this is just a personal opinion, but I think, frankly, I think this special session is all about the election. It's not about fixing CDCR. I know I have a strong opinion, but it's because, I totally agree with you, what we do not do is provide services that make decisions on the need of the inmate or ward as they come in or as they're being released. And we certainly have no professional treatment like education or training before they go, you know, in between. So it's just amazing to me that now they're talking about building more when they can't even staff the facilities which they have now. I honestly don't know what this is leading to.
Mm-hmm. Joining us now is John Simmons. He is a contract specialist with the SEIU union. And I can never remember what those letters stand for. Help me out, John. What does SEIU stand for?
Well, that's the largest and fastest growing union in the country, the Service Employees International Union, and we're local 1,000 of them.
Thanks for helping me with the acronym. Now, you supervise the contracts of non-guards, employees of the CDC, and there are now 34 adult institutions, maybe more, spread across the state. With the receivership ordered by the court and Bob Sillin taking control of the medical care facilities inside the prison, do you believe that he is fully aware of the problems and ready to address them in their order of priority? It's a huge task.
That's right. And we've actually been meeting with him quite regularly since he's taken over. And he is very aware of the problems. It's just an enormous task to do what he's been tasked to do. And he's starting, you know, very slowly, and he's starting off with a special project at San Quentin Prison, in which he's going to figure out a lot of things, and then it's eventually going to filter out through the rest of the state. But like I said, it's such a huge task. It's not something that can, you know, the change can't just happen very quickly.
And John, from SEIU's perspective, what advice have you given Bob Sillin? What are the top priorities?
Well, a lot of this comes directly from our members. It's about the things that need to be corrected in order to run an effective health care system. Because a lot of our members, you know, a lot of them are licensed health care professionals, and they come from recruit and retain those staff, chiefly being the poor money, and I think the big problem that everybody recognizes is the poor management of the prison health system and the prison system in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lacked leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a lot of work to be done. Well, I want to thank you both. I wish we had more time. Nancy Lierla from the Preston Youth Authority, please stay in the trenches there. Keep on working. And thank you for speaking up. And John Simmons from SEIU, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Uh-huh, our pleasure. We'll continue in a moment with Marjorie Cohn here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah! If you'd like to join the conversation, we provide a toll-free number. That means we pay for the call. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B. And coming up shortly, we're going to dial up Beirut, Lebanon, and talk to reporter David Enders here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But first, Marjorie Cohn weighs in on the busted-up airline plot.
Till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked, no weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines.
Professor Marjorie Cohn teaches constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. And are you still incoming, or have you been invested as president of the National Lawyers Guild?
I will take over in October.
October. Okay. And is there a big ceremony?
We'll see. I hope so.
You haven't been to a previous one, I take it.
Well, it's been so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marjorie, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of angles here on the so-called UK terror plot, because you sent around an email yesterday that certainly resonated with me, because it raised many of the questions that have been on my mind since the Big Splash media presentation last week. And that is that it appears once again that the Bush administration has seriously overhyped a threat based on an investigation that they exposed prematurely. And we've seen this now too many times, where they're eager for a headline or a distraction of the moment, and they bust up what appears to be some sort of a scheme in progress. And the British appear to be quite livid that Bush pushed for the early exposure of this plot.
Yeah, the piece that I was interested in was a piece by Craig Murray, who was the former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan. And he wrote a piece on August 14th called The UK Terror Plot, What's Really Going On? Mr. Murray is very dubious about whether there really was an imminent terror plot or whether this was just timing for political reasons. He said none of the alleged terrorists had made a bomb, none had bought a plane ticket, many didn't even have passports, which takes a long, long time to get. Many of those arrested had been under surveillance for over a year, like thousands of other British Muslims, and that then, all of a sudden, this interrogation in Pakistan reveals details of this amazing plot to blow up multiple planes, which, rather extraordinarily, had not turned up in a year of surveillance. And he knows, from being the ambassador to Uzbekistan, that you can get them, he's saying that you can get the most extraordinary information, basically, by torturing people, and they'll tell you what you want to hear, but what you usually don't get is the truth. And he has done a lot of work in tying Uzbekistan policies to U.S. support for Uzbekistan in this so-called coalition of the willing. Well, I thought the reason that that piece resonated with me was because the very day that this so-called terror plot was announced to the U.S. very ceremoniously and to the British as well, and everybody's travel was interrupted for, that day anyway in horrible ways, and I guess a few days after that, Dick Cheney was quoted on the front page of the New York Times in a subheading saying that people who voted for Lamont against Lieberman in Connecticut, and remember Lieberman was the pro-Iraq war candidate and Lamont was the anti-war candidate, Cheney is saying the people who voted for Lamont might encourage Al-Qaeda, and which is amazing. He's interfering, meddling with the Democratic elections, and he's also, they're evidently quite worried that other Democrats will be elected around the country based on opposition to the Iraq war. And then Tony Snow, Bush's mouthpiece, said that when Cheney made that statement, he did not know that the British authorities were in the process of arresting these alleged airline bombing plotters.
Oh, gosh.
If you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you.
My BS detector just went off when you said, when you cited Tony Snow.
Right. But you know, also, there was a lot of political timing in Britain as well, because the Blair government had been under severe criticism for the way it supported the U.S. and Israel uncritically during the bombing of Lebanon that killed 1,000 Lebanese civilians. And only days earlier, Tony Blair was criticized widely for blaming Islam and the Muslims for the rise of international terrorism. So the British had a real horse in the race as well. But I'll tell you, I would like to refer people, people who want to pursue this further, or people who are just saying that's ridiculous, of course, there was a horrible terror plot, to the Keith Olbermann show on MSNBC 2 days ago. You can get it online. It's called The Nexus of Politics and Terror. The Nexus of Politics and Terror on Keith Olbermann, MSNBC, the 14th of August.
Okay.
And he went through and listed 10 different times since 9/11 that something very, very incriminating to the Bush administration was revealed, and within a day or two, either the FBI came out with a threat saying New York landmarks were going to blow up, or Ashcroft came out and ceremoniously announced the arrest of Jose Padilla while he was in Russia, or Tom Ridge raised the threat level, or they said you better stock up on plastic and duct tape, or there were new warnings about Al-Qaeda raising the terror threats. Every single one of these, and they give the dates and exactly what was happening. I don't think we have time here to go through them all, but it really makes you wonder whether or not the Bush administration is manipulating the fear of another terrorist attack in order to get political advantage, in order to neutralize any opposition to its policies on Iraq, and also hyping this threat to Iran. By the way, today, 21 former generals, diplomats, and national security officials are releasing an open letter arguing that Iran is not a crisis, is not a threat. It's the same thing as the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It is nowhere near getting a nuclear weapon. It says to call the Iranian situation a crisis connotes you have to do something right now like bomb them, and that Iran is asking for negotiations, and that this is not the way to go. And I hope that American people will be critical and skeptical of this hype about the danger from Iran. You know, the Iran is supporting Hezbollah. Well, I'm glad somebody is giving money to these poor people to rebuild their houses. So what if it's Iran or Syria? I mean, the U.S. is arming Israel to the teeth, that army which just killed 1,000 Lebanese civilians, made 1 million homeless, and leveled the country. So I think that we really have to look at it from both sides and not just through the prism of the Bush administration, which is what we see very carefully manipulated in the media.
I certainly agree. And Marjorie, what is also interesting to me, and I kind of picked this up viscerally at first from the coverage last week, and then it became clearer in a news conference yesterday called by Alberto Gonzalez, who claims to be our attorney general, and his remarks were echoed by the president in a visit to the National Security Agency. Each of them talked about studying British law to see if there are ways that we can change American law to be more effective in these kinds of terrorist investigations. And what I read there is that they want the blank check at the NSA. They want retroactive legalization of the illegal actions that they have clearly taken. And they want more of the kind of police state laws that the Patriot Act represents to many Americans. Just one more point here.
Yeah.
The British operated within their own laws. They used warrants. They didn't bypass a FISA court or simply stipulate or allege that they had the authority to do it. They have a system. They have checks and balances. They have a bureaucracy that requires that these, for example, 28-day detentions be renewed every 7 days. And we have some bureaucracy like that, but it's largely been bulldozed by this administration in its rush to roll over the Constitution.
You know, you're really right about that. It's interesting because after 9/11, the United States put a lot of pressure on the European countries, the European Union countries, to salute and march to the U.S. agenda. In other words, to turn over information, to mold their laws so that the U.S. could get around privacy laws and share information. And a lot of people in the European countries are very upset about that. Now, British law, as you said, requires that they can hold them for 28 days, but they have to renew their request every 7 days. The United States doesn't follow our law. They hold people indefinitely, even U.S. citizens. They're holding people in Guantanamo for more than 4 years without any charges.
Yep.
They held Jose Padilla, who was a U.S. citizen, for years and years, and it wasn't until the eve of the due date for the government's brief in the Supreme Court in the case challenging Bush's right to hold Americans indefinitely as enemy combatants that they finally charged Padilla with the crime. More manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is stunning, and they just elided right over the idea that, from my perspective, everything the British did could be done legally by American law enforcement officials ranging from the FBI to local police authorities. And the Bush administration wants to make the case, and I believe that's part and parcel of the hype and potential myth-making that's going on here, and that is they want us to emulate whatever parts of British law would be more draconian. And, of course, British law fundamentally doesn't recognize the basic claim of innocence, that you're innocent till you're proven guilty.
Yes, it's the civil law system instead of the common law system. Well, I guess it is the common law system, but, yes, there are differences, and I think that what Bush wants to do is to use this whole so-called terror plot as an excuse to get support for his illegal surveillance program, which has come under attack, because it violates FISA and the Fourth Amendment. And so if he can say, look what the British did, we have to loosen up on these so-called privacy considerations. And I think without even following exactly what the British are doing, but rather using it as an excuse. It's really astounding. I think the founding fathers are probably turning over in their graves when they see how Bush has perverted the Constitution, the separation of powers, and really manipulated the media, the corporate media anyway, in such a way as to keep people in fear, on edge, and nevertheless, even with that, the majority of people, 60 or 61% of Americans, oppose the Iraq War, and that's going to be the main issue in the November elections, and the Republicans know it. 3,438 Iraqis were killed in July alone.
Right.
So I think that we really just need to be critical. We need to be skeptical. We should not swallow everything that we're told on Fox News and CNN.
Amen. Marjorie Cohn, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Peter.
Marjorie Cohn teaches constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. Coming up next, we dial Beirut, Lebanon for American reporter David Enders right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sings. So, I've been practicing. Listen. One ton tomato. I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and Matt Renner, our producer, is dialing through right now to Beirut, Lebanon, where American reporter David Enders has been in the country there for a few days now. He made a trip down to southern Lebanon, very close to the Israeli border, south of the Litani River. And if you'd like to read his dispatches, he is a part of the Guerrilla News Network, and they're on the web at gnn.tv. His blog is at David_Enders, E-N-D-E-R-S, .GNN.TV. And while we're waiting to connect with David, I want to let you know that he is doing this reporting on a shoestring budget, I think $2,500, and they are looking for people to help underwrite his work. And so if you go to GNN.TV, you'll be able to link to a page there where you could contribute, and they've raised about $800 of about a third of the money that it's costing him to be there right now for his coverage. So if you're able to help out with that, I would certainly encourage you to do so. Again, the website is gnn.tv, not .com, .tv. So he's been there since Monday night. He got into Beirut after a long overland trip through Amman, Jordan, and in through Tripoli in the northern part of Lebanon. And he said they were delayed for about 4 hours because he was traveling with a friend he knows from Iraq named Hiba, who serves as a translator and assistant. And our correspondent David Enders has made a number of trips to Iraq, published an English-language newspaper there for some time, and has seen quite a bit of the carnage in the Middle East over the last few years. So his accounts are very interesting, and we're trying to hook up with him right now. Tell you one little detail from the bottom of a dispatch that he wrote. He says, "I left the body armor back in the States. I never have felt quite right about standing around in armor when there are a whole bunch of other people who have none." Now, that takes some courage. He also describes on different occasions as he has been going through there that people have asked him for body armor.
some of the Lebanese survivors of Israel's assaults. So that's got to be quite a statement that he decided that he didn't want to be running around like Anderson Cooper, you know, wearing a designer flak vest when other people have no such protection. So how are we doing over there, Matt?
Still working on it.
We're trying to get through. I tried to dial Beirut earlier today and was getting the circuits busy message. I can imagine there are a lot of Americans who are checking on loved ones in Lebanon these days, and it's probably put quite a burden on the circuits. So while we're waiting, let me read a couple of excerpts from David Ender's dispatches. I asked some of the people as they cleaned up their houses, this is in Bint Jabal, the ones that weren't completely destroyed, what they would do next. They said they didn't really know. We're still in shock, was sort of a common refrain. I was mind blown that some people had actually stayed for the duration of the fighting. Rather than asking me if I had a flat jacket to spare, people were much more interested in using my satellite phone, no cell reception in most of the South, to call family and let them know they were alive. I burned through the credit on the phone in short order. I think it's well over $1 a minute on a satellite telephone. One thing people did mention, despite the fact that their town had been sort of wiped off the map, was that they'd continue to sacrifice in support of Hezbollah and the Syed. That's their name, their handle for Hassan Nasrallah. I'm finding this sentiment in both the city and the countryside, and of course Hezbollah was still clearly in control of the town. From there it was on to Bint Jabal, where we watched the sunset on a town that had been similarly pulverized, though Bint Jabal is quite a bit larger than Ayd al-Shab. The town was eerily quiet except for the occasional car full of refugees coming or going from their home. Some wept as they drove through the city, seeing it for the first time after some weeks. Occasionally, some fighters met up and heartily celebrated victory with a hug. Then everything went silent again when they drove away, churning up dust from the rubble that was everywhere. The destruction was on par with Fallujah, if not worse. The smell of dead bodies is about the same. My colleague spoke to a guy in Bint Jabal who had been trapped under the rubble of his home for 7 days and survived. He wanted to call his family in Michigan to let them know he's alive. He said he couldn't figure out how Israel could get away with such vicious bombing in Bint Jabal, a community that boasts the largest number of Lebanese expats living in the U.S. We saw an Israeli APC, armored personnel carrier, an armored bulldozer on the road near Bint Jabal, about 15 kilometers from the border. And Israeli drones are also still up, at least near the border. This sort of thing definitely does not sit well with people who are coming back to find their homes destroyed, with the reports of rockets fired Tuesday and the killing of Hezbollah fighters. The ceasefire, though it's hard to imagine more fighting in places so thoroughly destroyed, is certainly fragile. Today we went to the local hospital inside the local Palestinian refugee camp, Al-Bus, where 156 recently recovered bodies were brought so that they could be claimed by family before burial in a mass grave. One man found the body of his father, but said that the bodies of 7 other relatives, 4 of them elderly, 1 a toddler, remained under the rubble of his house in Sila, about 20 kilometers east of Sur. The man said that the Israelis had dropped leaflets telling people to leave, but that his family had decided to stay because they were afraid of being hit by Israeli fire while fleeing. This remains a concern even now. On Monday, a minibus of elderly people stopped to ask us if we had seen any Israelis on the road before leaving Ayd al-Shab. People remain very frightened of the military presence, and there are still drones up, at least along the border. So we're having difficulty getting through to Beirut, and I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll continue to try, and we're going to maintain our topic here over the next half hour as Stephen Zunis will join us to talk about the Middle East. And if we're able to get a hold of David, we will make every effort to get him on after the top of the hour news. So one more element I'll read to you from his recent dispatches, and this is prior to what I just read you. This is his arrival. He says, the trip down to Beirut from the border at Tripoli was fine. We went over the north border. No one is going over the main road between Damascus and Beirut. The highway had been bombed in at least four or five places, and there was evidence of the strikes on infrastructure ranging from Lebanese military bases to gas stations. But as we detoured through seaside towns, people seemed to be out for the most part. The people we rode down with in a shared taxi expressed the duality of the situation nicely. Some openly supported Hezbollah. Some were afraid that Nasrallah was determined to continue fighting no matter what the cost to Lebanon, but just as willing to believe that the disarmament of the group could mean an Israeli reinvasion slash occupation of the country. That is, the old adage remains the most true. Me and my brother against my cousin, me and my cousin against the stranger. Exhausted, I actually slept through the final salvos this morning. Apparently, the Israeli military hit the southern suburbs of Beirut, the Dahiya, one last time before the ceasefire. So that's some excerpts from dispatches from David Enders. Again, you can read them at david.enders.gnn.tv. That's the Guerrilla News Network website, gnn.tv. And look for the link to make a contribution if you'd like to support his work. And as we said, we'll continue to try to get in touch with him. It is in the middle of the night in Beirut, so we're reluctant to keep him up too much longer. But we'll try for the next few minutes and see if we can get through to David Enders in Beirut. Coming up next, as we mentioned, Stephen Zunis will join us. He is a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, and he's written a strong piece that you can read at commondreams.org, very critical of Democrats for their very strong support of Israel in this recent conflict. And coming up next hour as well, Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor of rawstory.com, recapping the recent events related to Iran. That's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. An arrest in the JonBenet Ramsey case.
This arrest may put to rest all the suspicions that have dogged JonBenet's parents.
New tapes bring back the terror of 9/11.
I'm going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers. We're going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The case horrified the nation. A beautiful little girl beaten and strangled in her parents' home on Christmas night nearly 10 years ago. Now, CBS News correspondent Aaron Moriarty, who's been following the JonBenet Ramsey murder, reports a suspect named John Mark Carr is in custody.
CBS News has learned that Carr, a 41-year-old American man, was arrested this morning in Bangkok, Thailand. He is a second-grade school teacher who taught all over the world. Law enforcement was led to Carr, sources say, because of a series of emails he allegedly sent revealing details about the case that were never made public.
Carr will be brought back to the United States this weekend. Authorities in Boulder, Colorado confirm the arrest and say they'll make a statement tomorrow. For a long time, suspicion centered on John and Patsy Ramsey, who vehemently denied killing their daughter. Patsy Ramsey died of ovarian cancer in June, but John Ramsey says she was aware before her death that an arrest was imminent. Lynn Wood is the Ramsey family's attorney.
I'm not sure that any of us were actually prepared for the phone call, so it's been an emotional day.
Now this.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
Two brothers chasing the American dream, one by making the law, the other by breaking it.
You're a tornado, Mike. You suck everything in and spit it out broken.
And their family is caught in the crossfire.
You either love your brother or you don't.
Showtime presents Brotherhood. Sizzling tales of corruption and deceit raves us weekly. See it from the beginning with 6 back-to-back episodes, and you'll know why critics are giving Brotherhood 4 stars.
I'm not going to let you hurt this family!
Enough! Get in on the Brotherhood Marathon, Saturday starting at 8, 7 Central, only on Showtime.
Approaching the 5th anniversary of 9/11, New York City today released tapes of more phone and radio communications on that awful morning. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live.
Hours of audio, 1,600 emergency calls, most between firefighters. Some are calls to 911 from the World Trade Center.
I'm going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
Melissa Doy begging to be rescued in the smoke and lethal heat. She did not survive. She was 32. Listening today was painful for relatives of dead heroes.
It's the firefighters, the police, and EMS could go into that building. I certainly can listen to these tapes, as unpleasant as it is.
Al Regenhardt, a retired cop whose son Christian, a firefighter, died on 9/11. Live in New York, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Relatives of 9/11 victims and the New York Times sued to have these tapes made public. A Mexican drug kingpin is in U.S. custody after an arrest that could have been dreamed up by Hollywood. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has the story.
For 3 years, he's been wanted on murder and drug charges.
Conspiracy to import and distribute cocaine and marijuana.
Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty said federal officials got a tip earlier this week that the suspect would be aboard a fishing yacht off the coast of Mexico.
A boarding took place by the U.S. Coast Guard personnel. 8 adults and 3 juveniles were discovered on board and detained.
And there he was using a fake name.
Francisco Javier Arellano Felix will be arraigned in the very near future. On the indictment.
He now faces life in prison. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Israeli army says it's handing over positions in South Lebanon to UN forces. This after the Lebanese government agreed to deploy troops near the Israeli border. In Baghdad today, the aftermath of a deadly attack. Reporter Pete Gao has details.
At the end of the working day in Baghdad, 2 simultaneous car bombs in the city center killed and injured commuters. Earlier today, another bomb exploded in a crowd of laborers looking for work. The U.S. and Iraqi military are currently engaged in Operation Together Forward, the objective of which is to rid the capital of this kind of violence that claims almost 100 civilian lives a day.
A top U.S. general in Iraq says al-Qaeda aims to build a political base to expand its campaign against the Iraqi government. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Mercy, this is John.
We were just rear-ended.
Are there any injuries?
Yeah, my husband's in pain right now.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Okay, I got you on Gender Road. I'll be contacting emergency services.
Police station.
This is John with OnStar. I'm one of our subscribers. I've just been involved in an accident. There are injuries. I can comfort some men.
How many cars are involved?
I don't know. We were rear-ended.
And you're injured?
My husband. I'm not sure where he's injured.
All right, we'll get medics out.
Just letting you know we're still here on the line with you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Paramedics are here now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll go ahead and disconnect so they can help you out.
Appreciate so much.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Hey, it's time for another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We are unable to reach Elvis Presley at this hour, but we have gotten through to Beirut. And Guerrilla News Network correspondent David Enders is, keeping late hours. Thanks for staying up to talk with us from Beirut tonight for you, David.
No problem. Actually, not in Beirut. In the south, in Sur.
Oh, you're in Sur. Well, you sound pretty good. I didn't expect that you would have any telephone service in the South. Why don't we start with that? What is the infrastructure like in Sewer that's near Tyre?
Well, it's better than it was a couple days ago. The electricity stayed on tonight. It hasn't the last couple nights. It's been on for maybe half of the time that we've been here. But as you go further inland, Stewart or Tyre is right on the coast. And as you move inland, obviously, you lose cell phone reception. You start moving into villages that have been sort of all but destroyed.
Mm-hmm. As we were trying to reach you in the preceding segment, I read portions of your recent dispatches to our listeners, and I directed them to your blog at GNN.TV. Tell us, give us your sense of how the people streaming south, many from Beirut and points in between the Litani River, what is the mood? And you described, for example, people who stayed hunkered down in South Lebanon because they were afraid that they'd get killed while they tried to flee.
Right. Well, obviously that did happen. People were killed trying to leave their cities and villages. And the effect was that people said they stayed because they were afraid they would be killed when they were leaving. It was quite amazing that some people had stayed. They said they'd moved in some cases room to room as different parts of the house were destroyed by the fighting around them. Other people came back to find their houses damaged or in some cases entirely gone.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, where are the Israeli Defense Forces?
Many of them are leaving the country. I stayed in Sewer today, but other correspondents I talked to this evening said they actually literally stood with Hezbollah fighters and watched as the Israeli, the IDF, left the country. Some of them are remaining. They are, as I've seen them a couple days ago, as far north, about 15 kilometers from the border, near Bint Jebel. But for the most part, they seem to be exiting the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, first of all, what about the ceasefire? Is it holding on both sides?
I certainly haven't witnessed any hostilities, and the only thing I've seen reported was yesterday. There were 5 Hezbollah fighters killed, and rockets were fired by Hezbollah at targets inside Lebanon, at IDF inside Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it does seem to be holding, and I think the general sense now is that it will hold as people are seeing the heat that Olmert is taking. Olmert certainly seems to have lost from what's the news coming out of Israel. He certainly seems to have lost the political capital to relaunch this, if that was something that he would want to do. So the sense among the people returning is people are talking about rebuilding, and they're expecting that this is over.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, has Hezbollah been defeated, at least in terms of their ability to launch rockets from the area south of the Litani River?
Well, certainly it doesn't seem like that. If they were firing rockets on Tuesday, and certainly the number of rockets being fired didn't seem to decrease significantly as the conflict wore on. And then just in general, the places that I visited, Hezbollah is still very much in control.
Mm-hmm.
Both literally and figuratively.
Well, and with Nasrallah announcing that effective today that Hezbollah will provide funds to pay rent for people whose houses have been destroyed and pay to replace their furniture, he certainly appears to be winning the PR offensive in terms of softening the blow of this incredible damage to the infrastructure, the displacement of 1 million people, and the death of up to 1,000.
Right. And certainly people expect the death toll to be much higher than that. People from the health ministry have said it's quite possible the toll is closer to 2,000.
I would not be surprised. Yeah.
At the hospital today, people were indicating that, you know, lots of people were still buried under buildings, and you know, we haven't been in a single city that's been destroyed where people haven't said, yes, you know, we're still digging people up. There's going to be a massive effort still, I think, for recovery of bodies as, mm-hmm. as this wears on. And yes, the Lebanese government, I think, has promised $2,000 per family for reconstruction, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily a lot of money, and definitely people are kind of impressed by what Nasrallah said today, and then mm-hmm. there was a press conference as well with the Hezbollah commander for southern Lebanon today, and he said as much, you know, sort of the same thing, mm-hmm. and you know, that does speak very loudly to people. And, you know, especially here in the South, where Hezbollah is extremely popular because of its social services.
Yeah. David Enders with us from Guerrilla News Network. He's live from Sur, Lebanon, near the city of Tyre. And you described Bint Jebail as a town that has been leveled in a manner similar with Fallujah, which you experienced when you were in Iraq last year. Tell us about that comparison.
Well, Fallujah, roughly 80% of the buildings were sort of damaged or totally destroyed, and in Bint Jebail and also Ayat al-Shab, which is closer to the border and close to the place where the two soldiers were taken prisoner initially, it started this recent round of fighting. Quite literally, every house had been hit. Maybe not entirely destroyed, and by destroyed, I mean sort of pancaked, where you have nothing but the roof, you know, that's collapsed on top of the house, or in Ayat al-Shab, a good number of the residents had 20 to 30 houses, but they were actually trying to figure out exactly how many houses, because they'd been bulldozed so thoroughly that no one was exactly sure what had been where.
Wow.
And so you just see this sort of utter destruction, you know, from the airstrikes and mm-hmm. the artillery, and in some cases the sort of house-to-house combat that took place. Just, you know, buildings, if they're livable, they're missing walls, you know, they're missing floors.
I can't imagine the plumbing still works.
Right. No, obviously there was, you know, no running water in these places, mm-hmm. no electricity.
Yeah. David, stand by. I want to bring in another person on our conversation. It's Professor Stephen Zunis from the University of San Francisco. And Stephen, got about a minute and a half before the next break. I thought I'd give you a chance to ask a couple of questions of our correspondent in Beirut.
Oh, yeah, the main question I have is from a political perspective. You know, Hezbollah, of course, has a you know, pretty, you know, reactionary, extreme ideology, and have not traditionally gotten much support outside the Shiite community, particularly from Maronite Christians. But my understanding is, as a result of the onslaught by the Israelis and Hezbollah's surprising success in battling them, that their standing has increased dramatically among Lebanese of all confessional communities. Is that your understanding as well?
Yeah. Speaking with friends of other communities, certainly their appreciation for Hezbollah as a resistance movement has increased. You know, people say, you know, things to the effect of, you know, if this is the response, what do you expect people to do except fight? And then, you know, down here, even amongst Shiites as well, you know, people say, before, maybe only 50% of the people supported Hezbollah. Now it's, one man said, now it's 150%.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, and also, you know, that reactionary sense has a lot to do with it. There's been some reporting about how this has raised Hezbollah in the eyes of Palestinians. And I was speaking to one Palestinian man today who was complaining that it was a very short-sighted view for Palestinians to take here. But, you know, he still agreed that it was the case, that it had increased the popularity of Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I want to thank you for staying up way past midnight to talk with us live from Lebanon today. And I look forward to talking with you again. Let's stay in touch by email, and maybe we can talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. That's David Enders. Read his dispatches at GNN.TV. That's Guerrilla News Network, GNN.TV. We'll return in a moment with Professor Stephen Zunis from the University of San Francisco. He's got a criticism of Democrats regarding this conflict. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent.
Awesome.
But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to ModereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Monterey, northbound Highway 1 at the 68 interchange. It's a three-car crash, all now clearing on the right shoulder. That's been here about a half an hour. That's northbound Highway 1 at Highway 68, the interchange there in Monterey. Three-car accident, all on the right shoulder. San Juan Batista, south 101 at Cannon Road. It's a three-car crash on the shoulder as well. Once again, this accident, south 101 at Cannon, three cars, right shoulder. No major problems to report on Highway 17 as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains so far this afternoon. For a limited time, Sleep Train will pay your sales tax on any select comfort, Simmons Beauty Rest, Sealy Posturepedic Mattress Set Plus. On approved credit, you'll sleep free for a year. Sleep Train, experience the difference. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540.
And we continue with Stephen Zunis. He is a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco and the Middle East editor for Foreign Policy in Focus. Stephen, any follow-up remarks on David Ender's report from Lebanon?
His description is consistent with other reports I've seen. The damage, of course, to the area was extensive, and the attacks indeed did seem to be based more on the civilian infrastructure of the country itself than any particular military targets. And so it raises both concerns in terms of the humanitarian consequences of this of the Israeli attacks, but also that it will almost certainly be breeding a new generation of radicals who are embittered by the experience and will blame Israel and the United States for their families' losses.
Yeah. So many people I've talked to who have made the case that Israel won militarily and that they showed restraint, you know, they could have just really flattened the entire country of Lebanon. I think they really missed the point that Israel's military might for traditional warfare was not in question, but the kind of asymmetrical attacks used by Hezbollah did have the desired effect of tying up the Israeli military, challenging them far more than they had anticipated, and really winning the PR battle with the key population groups in Lebanon.
I think very much so. Certainly, I think what the Israelis and Americans were hoping for was that by bringing such suffering upon the population as a whole, I mean, bombing Christian villages, you know, that were miles from any Hezbollah military activity, you know, destroying an agricultural warehouse way up in the north east, killing those 33 agricultural workers there, the blowing up the historic, you know, lighthouse on the Beirut Esplanade, and all the damage to the airport, seaport, bridges, power stations, commercial centers and that kind of thing, that people would be so mad at Hezbollah for their provocative act of the attacking that Israeli border position and kidnapping those two soldiers that they turned the population against Hezbollah. But of course, it did just the opposite. It's rallied people around Hezbollah and has gotten in virtually the entire country angry at Israel and the United States, which we're getting increasing evidence, it appears, pretty much goaded Israel on. This operation had been planned for years, according to Haaretz, a leading Israeli daily newspaper. San Francisco Chronicle reported how the Israelis had given PowerPoint presentations in Washington and last fall in anticipation of this attack. In the May 23rd summit, President Bush and Prime Minister Olmert discussed this, and Bush is really pushing Israel to get going and do this. And actually, we reportedly wanted Israel to attack Syria as well. Israelis were smart enough not to try to take that on, but they were still waiting for an excuse to attack Lebanon, and Hezbollah gave it to them, of course, on July 12th with that illegal and provocative action they took. But it sounds like Israel was going to try to find some excuse one way or another anyway. And this was part, not just in terms of, not just something that Israel wanted, but that the United States very, very much wanted as well. So a lot of Israelis actually are blaming the United States for setting up their country to do this.
Well, and this is a way, it's kind of convoluted, but Bush was able to get Democrats to support a war.
Very much so. And this is what's really disappointing, is that so many Democrats are lined up to praise President Bush for defying virtually the entire international community calls for a ceasefire. I mean, the terms of this ceasefire are virtually identical to what they could have gotten after the first few days.
Right.
But Bush wanted it to keep on going. The Democrats wanted it to keep on going. They both seemed to want to kill as many Lebanese civilians as possible. And Israel, for whom they were supposedly supporting this action, is worse off as a result, not better off.
Well, I agree, and I want to direct people to commondreams.org, which is where I found the powerful and persuasive piece you wrote called Why the Dems Have Failed Lebanon. It was posted on August 12th, and I found it today on the Common Dreams homepage. Just about a minute remaining, Stephen. Sum up for us what some of the key moves that Democrats made were that offended you and that were so much in concert with the Bush administration's misguided policies.
Well, with only 8 dissenting votes, the Democrats support a Republican-sponsored resolution which praised President Bush for supporting Israel unconditionally, which claimed that Israel was only targeting military targets and praising them for avoiding civilian loss. And basically, it was an attack on the credibility of Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International and the like, and even claimed that all of Israel's actions were legal under international law, which runs right in the face of virtually every authority on that subject that I know of.
Well, and that was intended to try to square with the Arms Export Control Act so that Israel could use the materiel supplied by the United States in this quote-unquote defensive action.
Yes, and that hurt the profits of American arms manufacturers. And it was really a show that the Democrats can be as hostile to international humanitarian law and as Republicans.
And we don't have time to delve into it, but it was a dark moment when Jan Schakowsky, Nancy Pelosi, and Senator Dick Durbin all teamed up with Chuck Schumer to try to deny Prime Minister Maliki the ability to speak before a joint session of Congress. I wasn't all that excited about it to begin with, but to claim that he has to condemn Hezbollah before they would let him speak.
Right, they had no problems with the death squads that operate out of his interior ministry that are engaging in ethnic cleansing against Sunnis. That's not what bothered him.
Stephen, we're out of time. Thank you, Stephen Zunis.
Against Israel's attacks on civilians.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Childhood Matters.
The show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
As the school year approaches, parents will begin to think about their child's social, emotional, and academic needs. I'm Nurse Rona, and this Sunday on Childhood Matters, we'll offer tips to help parents of children with special needs feel prepared for the new school year. Call us with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, as always, a work of art in progress. We had expected to be talking with Larissa Alexandrovna, but she's not feeling well, and so we'll reschedule that for next week. And we were able to get back in touch with Professor Stephen Zunis, who clearly was not quite finished when time ran out on the last segment. Stephen, I'm glad you're still available. And
No problem.
When we talked earlier, we should reveal to people that you're interrupting your vacation in Michigan to talk with us today, and we appreciate that.
It's a beautiful sunset over Crystal Lake here.
Oh, nice. So before we had to run out of time there, we were talking about the way that Democrats have responded to this Bush administration initiative. And let me put a little more context behind this, because Larissa Alexandrovna works at rawstory.com, and she's been focused on these national security issues and the potential for a conflict with Iraq or attacks on Iran. I'm sorry, Iran, not Iraq, in the near time frame.
Yes.
And she wrote a piece that was at Alternet last week that I think is a great summary of the work she's done over the past few months, and it's entitled, Is Lebanon the Trigger for U.S. War with Iran? And with that context, the support of Democrats for the Bush administration and Israel over the last 34 days becomes even more problematic.
They're very much so. In fact, if you look at the resolution that all but only eight Democrats voted against, it basically claims that Israel's actions were legitimate defense under international law and Article 51 of the UN Charter. Article 51 says that countries can use military force in self-defense, so it only says in the event of armed attack until a Security Council can meet and help resolve the situation. But they're saying that, oh, no, self-defense can mean if there's a minor border incident, a country has the right to launch a full-scale assault on the civilian infrastructure of an entire country, even if that minor border incident was not committed by the armed forces of that government, but a militia of a minor party. And so what raised concern about that is the United States can find some kind of minor incident somewhere involving American military personnel and say, aha, in the name of self-defense, we can then launch a full-scale war against this particular country, even if it's not even the armed forces of that particular government, but some militia or something that happens to operate there. And similarly, when it comes to Iran, if Israel's assault on Lebanon because of the actions of a relatively small militia, it can be seen as self-defense. Then if Iran might be developing a nuclear weapon, well, surely that could be seen as an act of self-defense. And so the way the language was worded here seemed to be putting the Democrats on the record to support this. In addition, the legislation greatly exaggerated the role of Iran, claiming they had operational day-to-day control of Hezbollah militia. I don't know anybody who's familiar with Hezbollah who seriously thinks that. Yes, they provided them with rockets and some training, but Hezbollah is an independent indigenous political party. This is the same kind of line the Reagan administration was making back in the 1980s, that the Sandinistas and the Salvadoran rebels were supposedly just puppets of Moscow with the Kremlin calling the shots from day to day.
Stephen, if we zoom out here just a little bit, isn't it fair to say that the U.S. has relatively as much influence over the day-to-day military decisions of Israel as Tehran does over Hezbollah, which is to say, not a lot of direct micromanaging, but support in a general direction, and certainly both moral and financial support?
Very, very much so. And just as the Iranians, I believe, share moral responsibility for the deaths of the Israeli civilians from these rocket attacks, from these Iranian-supplied rockets, similarly, I believe the United States shares moral responsibility for the far greater numbers of Iranian civilians that were killed as well. We could say to Israel, indeed, in fact, legally speaking, if you look at the U.S. Arms Control Export Act, legally we should have legally cut off the arms supply to Israel when it was clear they were responding disproportionately. But instead, President Bush decided to speed the pipeline of sending these arms there.
Mm-hmm. So coming back to American Democrats and their support for the Bush administration on this issue, it really is astounding that they didn't at least parse it differently, that, gosh, we support Israel, but we have our doubts about the way the Bush administration has egged this on. There are a lot of different ways they could have angled this.
Very much so.
But
I mean,
what we saw...
No question Hezbollah is a reactionary organization. No question Israel has a right to self-defense. No question that shooting rockets in the civilian areas of Israel is an act of terrorism and war crimes. But to then say it's okay if Israel goes and kills 20 times as many civilians, and to try to undermine the credibility of these reputable human rights groups and UN agencies that are reporting these atrocities, that does seem to go really, really too far.
Stephen
Farr, I talked to Sam Farr's staff about this. He was one of the supporters of this bill. It ended up being, they couldn't challenge any of the things I was saying. He just had to show his support for Israel by doing this.
Well, Stephen, we had the congressman on the show, and I expressed my displeasure with that vote, and he kind of just sloughed it off that, everybody voted that way.
Well, as a father of three teenagers, I don't accept the everybody's doing it excuse.
Now, Stephen, a couple of weeks back, we had Ari Gelber on our program, who writes for The Nation. And at TheNation.com, he had posted a very interesting article about the role of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, in influencing the votes of members of Congress. And he basically made the case that most elected officials are afraid to vote any way that can be perceived as against AIPAC, against Israel, because they have a reputation that Gelber said was greater than deserved, but still they have a reputation for working against the campaigns of individuals who they feel don't support Israel. Is AIPAC the reason that so many Democrats went for the Bush line here?
It it may have been the reason that a few did, those perhaps in very close races. But, you know, people like Sam Farr, and I live in Sam Farr's district. My home is in Santa Cruz. He's quite safe. He's going to win by quite sizable margin. He usually does.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the biggest threat of his re-election is if the Green Party nominated somebody strong, and which is more likely if he's going to vote the way he's been voting vis-a-vis the Middle East stuff. But in any case, I think that really, if you look at the people who voted for it, most of them had no excuse. None of them were in political trouble. None of them needed, be hurt by political action committees allied with the Israeli government going into their opponent's campaign. I think that's a much more the excuse, frankly, than the reason. In fact, I get a little uncomfortable, frankly, when people start exaggerating Jewish economic or political power. I mean, it parallels historic anti-Semitism, frankly, of saying, it's not our fault, but that risk of all of Jews behind the scenes that are really messing things up. And I get a little uncomfortable with that kind of talk.
I can understand that. At the same time, AIPAC has been playing hardball. We have one of its officials who has been charged with trading information, secret information. And, there are legitimate criticisms of both AIPAC and the State of Israel that do not have to cross over into anti-Semitism.
Very much so, very much so. And, of course, there's organized right-wing elements within the Jewish communities that want to discourage debate on this. I mean, when I pointed out the fact that Hezbollah had not, according to the State Department, the Congressional Research Service, and every independent research investigation I've seen, that Hezbollah had not committed an act of terrorism since 1994, the Anti-Defamation League put my name on their main website saying Professor defends terrorism. And I asked him, can you name a specific terrorist attack by Hezbollah since 1994? They couldn't, but they didn't want me mentioning this uncomfortable fact to them and to the public, and so they tried to discredit me.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly there are elements within the Jewish community that do want to stifle debate and can create a climate of intimidation on Capitol Hill and elsewhere. But when you think about it, given that the United States, for example, supported Indonesia in its quarter-century occupation of East Timor, which was far more brutal than even what Israel's been doing to the Palestinians, we didn't need an Indonesian-American lobby to force our hand that way, or Morocco's current occupation of Western Sahara, or Turkey's occupation of Cyprus. I mean, unfortunately, our government does not need an ethnic lobby to make it support an ally, oppress and occupy another country,
mm-hmm.
Against its will.
Okay, so we've ruled out AIPAC as the reason why Democratic lawmakers blindly supported the Bush administration. Public opinion polls don't show that there was a groundswell of blind support for Israel among American voters. So what did propel these Democratic leaders to take these steps?
Well, I'm afraid a lot of it has to do with while they don't like the specifics of a lot of Bush administration policy, they do subscribe to this largely hegemonic view of the role the United States should play there. An overwhelming majority of Democrats still support funding the Iraq war, despite growing misgivings. The majority of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate and the leadership of both the House and Senate vote to authorize the invasion of Iraq and perpetuate this myth about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. I think it has a lot to do, unfortunately, that they share many of the ideological preconceptions of the Bush administration that that the United States has a right to maintain some kind of hegemonic role there. Similarly, this idea that this obsession with Iran, this idea that we shouldn't have a nuclear weapons-free zone for all the Middle East South and Southwest Asia, but instead we should have a system where our allies like India, Pakistan, and India get to have nuclear weapons, but if it's a country we don't like has nuclear weapons, we need to consider military options. It's the same kind of double standards, the same kind of support for not just the Israeli occupation, but these repressive Arab dictatorships that get arms and training. I don't hear many Democrats speaking out against that either.
Yeah.
And And so I think it's much bigger, unfortunately, than just Israel. It's a worldview. And I think, frankly, the other problem is there are a lot of good groups like MoveOn.org and Political Action Committee for Peace Action and Act for Change that are seem to have no problem with endorsing and raising money for Democrats who, like, including those who support this resolution I mentioned on Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they figure, well, if we're going to get progressive support anyway, you know, why should we change?
Right. Well, Stephen, thank you for a very compelling argument there. I want to direct people again to commondreams.org where they can read the piece that you wrote. And thanks for the extra time today.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to open up the phones next and head into the free speech zone with expanded time for you. So get on the line and tell us what's on your mind. We've aired out a lot of important issues there, and you may have others that you want to bring forward. Lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, toll free. We'll go to the phones in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Carmel, problems continue northbound Highway 1 after Ocean. Right lane currently blocked with a three-car crash. Also getting reports of some broken glass all over the roadway. Once again, this crash, Carmel, northbound Highway 1 just after Ocean, and the right lane is currently blocked. New accident, Soquel, San Jose Road at Porter. That's a two-car crash currently on the right shoulder. That's, once again, Soquel, San Jose Road at Porter Street. No major problems to report on 101 as you make your way through Morgan Hill down through Salinas. Come to the Cost Plus World Market. Big savings throughout the entire store during our annual World Market Day celebration. Plus, save an extra $25 when you spend $75 or more. See stores for details. I'm Larry Olson with KRXA Traffic.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can give us a call right now. We're waiting to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made.
10 minutes away from the hour, and as we mentioned, we are starting the free speech zone a little bit early today, so if you'd like to grab a line and talk with us, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And maybe you haven't dialed it before. 888-573-8372. Some people find it easier to use the letters, but I know when I'm dialing, it's just hunt and peck. So 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. And if you want to drop me an email, use humblehost@peterbcollins.com. humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Lots to talk about in the news. Joe Lieberman, who has been asked to leave the Democratic Party by the voters of his state of Connecticut, is hanging in there with his independent campaign. Interestingly, over last weekend at a fundraiser in the Hamptons on Long Island, Senator Clinton from New York said that she's a little worried. She thinks that Lieberman might be able to pull this off as an independent. And at this point, I'm doubtful, because I think that Lieberman is going to have to come up with a whole new set of arguments to persuade voters who've already made a decision, at least a majority of them, to embrace Ned Lamont, that either there's something seriously wrong with Lamont, and therefore people have to go to old, reliable Joe, or he's going to have to come up with a new wrinkle, a new Joe Lieberman. Now, he's fired some of his Democratic campaign staff. He's been in touch with the people who wrote him checks for his presidential run that failed in 2004 and the successful campaign for vice president with Al Gore in 2000 until it was overturned on a technicality 5-4. So I'm curious about your thoughts about Lieberman at this point. And now that some of the dust has settled and we have our doubts about how serious the hijacking plot was, the liquid explosives, maybe Al-Qaeda, maybe not, scheme, tell me what your thoughts are a week after the Lamont victory over Lieberman, and whether you think the Democratic voters in Connecticut, and, of course, independents, because Lamont's going to have to shave off some of the independent voters who would likely support Mr. Lieberman. Very interesting, last night, the third candidate in the race, Alan Schlesinger, he's the Republican candidate for the Senate in Connecticut, he surfaced on Hardball with Chris Matthews on MSNBC. And I thought it was an odd exchange, because Chris Matthews was loaded with negative stuff to lay on this guy Schlesinger from the get-go. And one of the stories that I heard for the second time, as Matthews laid it out, is that this guy Alan Schlesinger apparently is a really good card player and a champion blackjack player, a man who allegedly can count cards even when they're five or six decks in the shoe at one of these Indian casinos in Connecticut. So apparently he has been so successful that some casinos have put him on a list and said, don't gamble here anymore. And Matthews hit him with that stuff, and he hit him disproportionately hard. I mean, we didn't even know who this guy is or how to spell his name, and we're learning that he's been accused of counting cards and been disinvited from casinos in the past. I don't think that's very significant. But if Joe Lieberman is able to find a skeleton in Ned Lamont's closet and use rove tactics to try to destroy him, it could pay off. To me, that's the only way that Lieberman can prevail, because I think that Joe Lieberman is a product whose shelf life has expired. That's the way I would put it. Billy in Capitola, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
He's past his use-by date.
I think so.
Well, yeah. I think that, you know, the perfect thing to do with Lieberman is to call him for what he is, which is just another politician for whom public service means self-service.
Well, I think that is evident. And I think that by essentially saying the outcome of the primary doesn't matter to me, his self-interest is really clear. But we have, about 85 days to go until the election, somewhere in there. It's in the 80s. And a lot can change, and a lot of negative campaigning can occur.
And you know, let's face it, he's going to get a lot of support from the Republicans, which is the best reason not to vote for him.
Well, and that's what's interesting about Matthews. You know, I've had my problems with him, and I do. But on this particular issue, last week he had Republican National Committee Chairman Ken Mellman on the show, and he kept hammering him about...
That was a funny interview.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he played a clip from it last night to reinforce it for this guy Schlesinger. And Ken Mellman will not take a position on the race in Connecticut, which is highly unusual because as the Republican National Chairman, he should simply say, oh, I support the Republican. That's what we always do.
Hey, let's talk about torture, which we wanted to do yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I understand that maybe one of the ways in which they cracked the plot was they grabbed one of the guys and maybe tortured him a little bit. You know, torture is the kind of thing that has to be, in this country, for example, clearly illegal. However, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. So by that I mean, and again, you know, what you always hear from me, Peter, is real-world politics or real-world life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I know what I would want is for me to think that I'm in big trouble if I ever torture somebody I shouldn't, and I'll be going to jail for a long time.
Right.
Unless, of course, I torture somebody I should. Then I'll expect a presidential pardon. But I'm serious about this.
Well, Billy, let me be really clear, because I know my idealism comes across the radio pretty loud and clear.
Yeah.
But I'm a practical guy, too.
Here we go.
I think that we should maintain our policies that ban the use of torture in interrogation. And I can handle an exception now and again if there is a clear and present danger and if the torture actually produces actionable intelligence. Now, I consider it very remote. I don't endorse this on any kind of a regular basis. But like you just said, you know, if the circumstances were there, I could make an exception and a presidential pardon would probably be appropriate. But we haven't seen either the probable cause in the past or any result that could support the torture that we've used.
Well, worse than that is what we did see from our government was a desire to torture, to actually have that be okay, regular, standard operating procedure. Nothing could be more horrifying. Even though, again, we both understand there are times when you do it, but you want it clearly illegal, so a person thinks, I better not...
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Nearly a decade after the crime, a break in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. Lynn Wood, attorney for the Ramsey family, says he had a call from prosecutors this morning.
John Mark Carr had been arrested in Bangkok, Thailand, and charged with the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Carr is 41 years old. He was being held in Thailand on unrelated sex charges. CBS News correspondent Lee Frank has more.
The suspect, a former school teacher, lived in Georgia, the state where John and Patsy Ramsey lived before and after JonBenet was killed in Boulder, Colorado. Apparently, some emails were sent from the suspect, which helped lead police to the man who's now accused of involvement in the killing of JonBenet Ramsey.
In those emails, CBS News has learned Carr gave details of the murder not known to the general public. New York City today released more tapes from September 11th, 2001.
One of the towers just came down on top of everybody.
Okay, we got that here.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
There are more than 1,600 radio exchanges and 911 calls never made public before. Rosemary Kane, whose firefighter son George was killed at the World Trade Center, says listening to the tapes only gives her a better idea of where he was.
My heart will never heal. There's nothing that's going to heal my heart. Unless my son can walk through my door someday, there's nothing it's going to heal my heart.
Acting on a tip, federal agents and the Coast Guard have arrested a reputed Mexican drug lord who was cruising on a yacht in the Pacific. CBS News reporter Adrian Bard in Mexico City has his story.
Javier Arellano Felix has long been a target for Mexican police. He's one of the youngest of a clan of seven brothers and four sisters, many believed to be involved in the narcotics trade. In addition to allegedly trafficking huge amounts of heroin and marijuana across the California border, his criminal organization is also believed responsible for executing and decapitating four police officials last month.
Scotland Yard says the person arrested yesterday in connection with the airliner bombing plot has been released without charge. At the same time, British authorities have won court approval to continue holding 23 suspects while they pursue the investigation. U.S. fighter jets scrambled to intercept a United Airlines flight from London to Washington today. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports a woman on board was creating a disturbance, muttering something about Pakistan.
She was a lone, hysterical person who may have been claustrophobic. In any case, she became very upset on the plane. Other passengers tried to intervene. The pilot, in being notified that there was a ruckus in the passenger cabin, did the prudent thing. He declared an emergency and landed at the nearest U.S. airport, which was Boston Logan.
The 59-year-old woman from Vermont was arrested on charges of interfering with a flight crew. The market had a very good day. The Dow Industrials up 96 points to close at 11,327. The NASDAQ gained 34 points and finished at 2149. This is CBS News.
Hello. Would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Can you guess what that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. Drunk driving. Over the limit. Under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
It used to be rare, but now staph bacteria is blamed for half of all skin infections treated in hospital emergency rooms. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Think a spider is responsible for that red bump on your skin?
If patients see something that they think may be a spider bite, they should think again.
UCLA researcher Gregory Moran says chances are it's an infection caused by MRSA, a superbug that is resistant to traditional antibiotics. In a New England Journal of Medicine study, he reports an infection explosion.
It's fairly remarkable how in a very short period of time this went from something that we would almost never see to now the single most common cause of skin infection.
Newer types of antibiotics work if doctors properly diagnose the wound. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Lebanese general has been relieved of command and arrested in the aftermath of the Israeli invasion. Brigadier General Adnan Duad was in charge of a base in southern Lebanon that was seized by Israeli forces last week. He was videotaped drinking tea with the soldiers. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
Two brothers chasing the American dream, one by making the law, the other by breaking it.
You're a tornado, Mike. You suck everything in and spit it out broken.
And their family is caught in the crossfire.
You either love your brother or you don't.
Showtime presents Brotherhood. Sizzling tales of corruption and deceit raves us weekly. See it from the beginning with 6 back-to-back episodes, and you'll know why critics are giving Brotherhood 4 stars.
I'm not going to let you hurt this family!
Enough!
Get in on the Brotherhood Marathon, Saturday starting at 8, 7 Central, only on Showtime.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide.
Free speech.
I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
We launch into the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. If you're listening at KRXA 540 Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, give me a call. Maybe you're listening on KGOE 1480 Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Jake, where are you? Or maybe you're listening on those little speakers on your computer. However you do it, I'm glad you're out there, and I want you to call and check in. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. No shortage of things to talk about, so bring me your opinions and share them with our listeners at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll be taking calls this entire hour. And I look forward to hearing from you, especially if you're a first-time caller. I know some of you folks, you pick up the phone, you dial 6 numbers, maybe, you know, 9 out of 10, and then you give up. Well, be brave and follow it all the way through today. I'd like to know what's on your mind. Just before the last news break, I mentioned Lieberman retooling for this independent campaign in Connecticut. And I want to thank a blogger who took the trouble to identify for us. The 3 Democratic senators so far have said they will continue to support Joe Lieberman. They are Carper. Where the hell is Carper from? I don't remember. I can't tell you that. Senator Carper, yes, from that great state of Pryor of Arkansas, Salazar of Colorado. Now, those are 3 people who have decided they're going to continue to support Joe Lieberman. Here are the people who have yet to commit one way or the other, according to this blogger. Max Baucus of Montana, Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico, Robert Byrd of West Virginia, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Byron Dorgan of North Dakota, Senator Feinstein of California, Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, Tim Johnson of South Dakota, Herb Cole of Wisconsin, Mary Landreau, who's often voting along with Lieberman and the Republicans. She's from Louisiana. Patrick Leahy from Vermont. He's probably a real good buddy of Lieberman's and having a tough time with it. Carl Levin of Michigan, Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, Patty Murray of Washington, the Nelson brothers, Ben of Nebraska and Bill of Florida. They're not really brothers. John Rockefeller of West Virginia. So it's Bob Geiger who blogged this for us, and I thank you, Bob. And if you have the inclination, pick up your phone or just log on to your email and send a comment to those senators and tell them to be real Democrats and support the Democratic nominee in the great state of Connecticut. And here's the web address. It's Bob Geiger, G-E-I-G-E-R, .blogspot.com. And there's an updated list there if you'd like to take a look at it. Tom Friedman, the guy in the New York Times op-ed section who tells us that the next 6 months will be critical in Iraq, and he's been telling us that for the last 2 years. He's moving away from support for Bush and company. Oh, he starts off with a little tweak of the Democrats. And then he says, but whatever you think of the Democrats, the important point is this: they're not the party in power today. What should really worry the country is not whether the Democrats are being dragged to the left by anti-war activists who haven't thought a whit about the larger struggle we're in. What should worry the country is that the Bush team and the Republican Party, which control all the levers of power and claim to have thought only about this larger struggle, are in total denial about where their strategy has led. Besides a few mavericks like Chuck Hagel and John McCain on Iraq and Dick Lugar and George Shultz on energy, how many Republicans have stood up and questioned the decision-making that has turned the Iraq War into a fiasco? Had more of them done so, instead of just mindlessly applauding the administration, the White House might have changed course when it had a chance. Not only is there no honest self-criticism among Republicans, but, and this is truly contemptible, Friedman says, you have Dick Cheney and friends focusing their public remarks on why Mr. Lamont's defeat of Lieberman only proves that Democrats do not understand that we are in a titanic struggle with Islamic fascists and are therefore unfit to lead. Oh, really? Well, I just have one question for Mr. Cheney. If we're all in such a titanic struggle with radical Islam, and if getting Iraq right is the center of that struggle, why did you tough guys fight the Iraq war with the Rumsfeld Doctrine, just enough troops to lose, and not the Powell Doctrine of overwhelming force to create the necessary foundation of any democracy-building project? Mr. Cheney, if we're in a titanic struggle with Islamic fascists, why have you and President Bush resisted any serious effort to get Americans to conserve energy? Why do you refuse to push higher mileage standards for U.S. automakers or a gasoline tax that would curb our imports of oil? Here we are in the biggest struggle of our lives, and we are funding both sides. The U.S. military with our tax dollars and the radical Islamists and the governments and charities that support them with our gasoline purchases. Mr. Cheney, if we're in a titanic struggle with Islamic fascists, why do you constantly use the term war on terror as a wedge issue in domestic politics to frighten voters away from Democrats? How are we going to sustain such a large, long-term struggle if we are a divided country? Please, Mr. Cheney, spare us your flag-waving rhetoric about the titanic struggle we're in and how Democrats just don't understand it. It is just so phony, such a patent ploy to divert Americans from the fact that you have never risen to the challenge of this war. You will the ends, but you won't will the means. What a fraud. There's one more paragraph. This is worth reading. Friends, we're on a losing trajectory in Iraq. And as the latest London plot underscores, the wider war with radical Islam is only getting wider. We need to reassess everything we do in this war on terrorism and figure out what is worth continuing, what needs changing, and what sacrifice we need to demand from every American to match our means with our ends. Yes, the Democrats could help by presenting a serious alternative, but unless the party in power for the next 2.5 years shakes free of its denial, we are in really, really big trouble. I think this is pretty significant. And if you tie this to Senator Clinton's pivot, her attack on Rumsfeld, her call for his resignation, followed by the predictable Lamont victory, at least Hillary knew it was coming, and now you have Tom Friedman jumping ship. We heard yesterday that Donald Rumsfeld wants to get out of Iraq, and that's an open secret in Washington. The cabal is shrinking. Friedman is backing away. And this does signal, in many respects, the beginning of the end for Bush foreign policy adventures. We hope. But it's going to require Democrats getting elected in November, and these Republicans need to be pushed back repeatedly. Because as we've seen, when they got the wind from Connecticut, they responded by hyping a terror threat. They're going to use the fear card relentlessly and ruthlessly through this campaign. Will the Democrats really be able to stand up? I hope so, but I haven't seen the evidence to date. Also, Matt just updated me that two senators we mentioned, Mary Landrieu and Ben Nelson, are siding with Joe Lieberman, so they have stepped out of the undecided column and into the wrong column. Jake is back. We haven't heard from Jake in a while in Arcata. Hello, Jake. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how's it going? Hey, actually, I'm calling from Eureka now.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Enjoying the summer here and everything. I got to talk to you about Lieberman and
right.
the senators who are backing him, like Landrieu from Louisiana, Nelson from Nebraska, Carper's from Delaware, actually.
Oh, thank you.
And these guys, they should have their own primary opponents next time around. You know, that's the bottom line here is we have a lot of these Senate Democrats who are not representing Democratic voters.
Yeah.
And the primary in Connecticut was the proof. We had basically a nobody, Ned Lamont. You know, I'm not trying to put him down, but politically, you know, he was a novice.
You're right.
And he comes out of nowhere, beats Joe Lieberman, who was the vice presidential candidate 6 years ago. That is a huge defeat for the DLC closet Republican wing of the Democratic Party. You know, the Clintonites, the people that want Hillary Clinton to run in 2008, forget that. Lieberman's defeat is Hillary Clinton's defeat. Lieberman's defeat is the defeat of the right wing, because now the Democratic Party is finally uniting around the opposition to the Iraq war and the opposition to Bush's insane foreign policy.
Yeah.
The real division now is inside the Republican Party. You see people like Chuck Hagel stepping up, you know, telling it the way it is. The Bush foreign policy disasters in Iraq, Lebanon, possibly in Iran next. You know, this guy has to be stopped. Bush is out of control. There's serious questions as to whether or not Bush is even capable or, you know, apparently with have you heard Brent Scowcroft come forward? And, you know, we all know Brent Scowcroft basically speaks for the elder Bush.
Right.
He's criticizing his own son through Scowcroft.
Yeah.
And people need to pay attention. Like you said, this cabal is shrinking. You know, they're starting to eat themselves, the Republicans, because obviously they can't keep up the charade anymore. Their foreign policy is failed. And it is time for a change. It's time for a new direction, and the Democrats have to be elected this November.
Hey, Jake, hold on, because I want to turn it to California politics and talk about Dianne Feinstein and why she doesn't have a meaningful challenge this year. Hang on through the break, and we'll continue in just a moment. I'd like to hear from more of you. Lines are open here in the Free Speech Zone. Give us a call, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sings, so I've been practicing. Listen, one-ton tomato, I'd be a one-ton tomato.
It's one-ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's Behind the Wheel, the consumer new car review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen Passat 2.0, an impressive four-door sedan. The Passat is well-engineered and performs very well. At first, I thought my demo had a six-cylinder engine because it's so zippy. But it's a 2-liter fuel-injected four-cylinder engine with a nicely tuned six-speed manual transmission. Great traction, great handling, smooth suspension. The Passat is a great value, gets good mileage, and it's roomy for five passengers and sizable cargo in the trunk. I do have one objection. The parking brake doesn't have a pedal or hand grip. It's an electronic switch. And with the stick,
This makes it hard to let the brake off and put the car in gear, especially uphill from a standing start. By the numbers, the 2006 VW Passat 2.0 gets 23 miles to the gallon in the city, 32 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 Lexington Hills, Old Santa Cruz Highway at Andercroft Hills. Make that Heights. It's a large tree limb blocking both lanes there. Once again, this is in Lexington Hills, Old Santa Cruz Highway at Aldercroft Heights. Large tree limb blocking some lanes there. Did have an earlier crash in Carmel. That has cleared. We got a new stall. Northbound Highway 1 at Carmel Valley Road. It's stalled car blocking both of the lanes there. Soquel, San Jose Road at Porter Street. Two-car crash. That's currently blocking some lanes there. Two BMWs and $22,500 cash left. Next drawing, August 22nd. See Players Club for details. 101 North to Lighton Springs exit. Follow the Dry Creek Ranch. Rhea signs for River Rock Casino. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Most of my lines are open right now, so don't be shy. You won't be on hold long. Give us a call. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And we continue with Jake in Arcata. Nice to have you back, Jake. What I wanted to mention is that I believe that California's senior senator, Dianne Feinstein, deserved a significant challenge this year, and it would have been nice in the Democratic primary. I don't want to see the seat go to a Republican of any stripe, but she votes with the Republicans far too often. And, Jake, we have a news story that we got in today, and we've invited the author, Joshua Frank, to come on our show next week. But he's done a little digging into the profiteering that has been enjoyed by one Richard Blum. He is the husband of Senator Feinstein, and he started a company called Blum Capital, and Blum Capital has a huge stake in a company called Perini, which has a $600 million contract for construction work in Iraq. And he also is a major stakeholder in a company called URS. And URS, one of the top defense contractors in the United States, they bought a company called EG&G from the Carlyle Group. You've heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this EG&G, let's see, have a $600 million contract in Iraq. URS stock has more than tripled since the war started in 2003, and Richard Blum has cashed in more than $2 million of his own and $100 million for his investment firm. So I wish we had an upstart Democrat who had brought this information forward prior to the June 6th primary.
Yeah, it looks like the Feinstein family was paid well for their support of the Bush regime. This is the problem. When we have Democrats like Feinstein who sell us out, and let's just call it like it is. These centrists have been selling us out for years. But the thing is, they're fighting the last political war, Peter, the whole DLC wing. They're fighting the 90s. The whole point here is, with the collapse of Bush's foreign policy, with the defeat of the neocons, it's time for Democrats to stand up and stand on principle, because that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear this wishy washy stuff that got John Kerry defeated in 2004. They're sick of people trying to walk down the middle of the road, you know. The fact is, the war has to end. Bush and Cheney have to be stopped. They have to be impeached and held accountable for what they've done to this country and to the rest of the world. And it's time for Democrats to tell it like it is. And unfortunately, you have these Democrats like Feinstein cashing in on the whole thing. You know, I'm sorry, but it is time to clean house on our side, Peter.
Well, I believe that that's the case. We have to do it prudently because we don't want to throw out a bunch of Democrats and have them all replaced by Republicans. But I think that Lamont's challenge, the primary challenge to Lieberman, is the ideal method for shifting the Democratic Party back where it belongs.
That's right. You know, the point is, it's time for the voters to decide. You know, these backroom deals that are made between the insiders, and usually they're the ones that are acceptable in Washington circles. In other words, the more conservative Democrats are the ones that are allowed to rise to the top, unfortunately, under the whole, Clinton takeover in the 90s. And we still have it with us to this day. But, you know, with the Lamont victory, we see the tide starting to turn. We see Democratic voters standing up on principle. And that's what the politicians need to do. The politicians need to lead instead of following.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have too many Democratic politicians who, over the course of the past 5 years, have been unwilling to lead.
Very well put. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Always nice to hear from you. Don't be shy. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
Peter, I especially appreciated Stephen Zunis' remarks, and I regretfully have to agree with him that it probably was not AIPAC or even the threat of retribution from any lobby that had so much to do with so many Democrats signing on to that resolution. It's conventional thinking that the way you get at terrorism is you get in there and bomb it into the ground. I mean, I can't believe how awfulness. You remember that statement that Hiram Johnson is supposed to have said that the first casualty of war is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also, and maybe in a bigger sense, the first casualty is the golden rule. I mean, nobody would want any of that or even think for a moment of having that kind of awfulness that has been visited upon Lebanon come upon us. The whole idea is not have anything strike us, but it's okay to do anything imaginable. I mean, the way you get rid of terrorists, you murder them. You bomb them away.
John, it's as if they've been playing too many video games. And they think that we can defeat them, you know, using shock, awe, flash, bang, boom. And Hezbollah has shown that they're willing to let us virtually level large portions of Lebanon, and it didn't extinguish them. Sure, it set them back a little bit. They used some of their inventory of missiles. But it doesn't appear to me that their stature has been diminished. And they're first on the ground offering to pay for rebuilding of citizens of any kind in Lebanon. And that kind of social engineering is going to benefit them. Israel should be there side by side, saying, we'll match Hezbollah. If they give you $5,000 to replace a blown-up home, we'll give you $5,000, too.
By the way,
they should be competing for those hearts and minds, and I don't think that'll happen. Go ahead, John.
Well, regarding Fred Farr's support of that resolution, I called his office,
Sam,
about the resolution because I hadn't seen it in print or anything from it in print. I knew it had happened, and his office agreed to send it to me, and I haven't gotten it yet. Would you like to have it sent on to you, or is it just...
Yeah, no, please do if you get a copy of it, and I'd love to see the remarks.
Give me your address. I'm not on the Internet. I can't email you anything.
All right, hold on. We'll give it to you during the break here, John. Stand by. We'll be right back. More calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call us back, John. I hung up on you. Sorry.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they are just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lie.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m., from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B.
I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody. Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Somebody doing something sick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are. Got me wondering which is which.
That's the late, great Johnny Guitar Watson, and you know the name of that song. I'm Peter B. We're taking your calls, and lines are available at 888-5-PETER-B. Up next, Lisa in Eureka. Hello, hello, Lisa.
Hi, Peter.
How
can
you
hear
doing?
Me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Oh, good. I have a question for you. With all of these Democrats standing
off to the side and supporting a person who wasn't duly elected by the people of Connecticut, why isn't Dean standing up as the chairman and saying, this is wrong?
Oh, it's the exclusive club of politicians, you know, who achieve, you know, Dean never made it into national office or the Senate, but
isn't he the committee chairperson?
Oh, yes, and he has the equivalency. But there is great deference given to the members of the club when they operate in a clubbish manner. And we talked about this about Senator Boxer going to Connecticut to campaign for a guy who supports the war. And she's the one we look to for leadership on the issues of opposing this war.
Right.
And so, you know, I can't fully explain it.
I honestly believe that's part of the problem here and why Democrats are having such a tough time standing behind anything. It's because when you don't have your leadership, the people that you have elected into office doing the bidding of the people instead of the bidding of themselves, you've got a problem here. And I think that's the biggest problem that we have. I vote nonpartisan, or I register nonpartisan. It keeps me from getting a lot of junk mail.
Right.
And I can go in and vote Democrat or Republican in the national or the primary.
Right.
You know, and you don't vote provisionally either. So I just have a real tough time with understanding how do we change this? You know?
Well, I think what we have, unfortunately, is an elite group of people who think that their incumbency is more important than the issues that you and I care about and want them to fight for. And they think that most of us don't pay much attention, and so they can pretty much do what they want with impunity as long as they don't commit a verbal blunder like Senator Allen from Virginia has with his macaca comment.
Right. So we need more Lamonts is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
We need more people who come out of nowhere who say they stand for what the people stand for, and that's that.
That's why, and I know you're a pretty regular listener, Lisa, but you heard Chuck Pinocchio from Pennsylvania, who I wanted to see defeat Bob Casey for the Democratic opportunity to beat Rick Santorum. We saw Paul Hackett get squeezed out in Ohio. He probably wasn't going to win, but I wanted voters to decide that. Marcy Winograd couldn't get enough traction to defeat Jane Harmon, but she came up 38% of the vote. That's something. But we need to see more people like Lamont who can go the distance and really take out one of these former Democrats.
Dinos.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Always a pleasure. Now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. And my answer to Lisa's problem there is, because I've often wondered, what is driving these Dino Democrats? Don't they see how harmful this is? And it is simply the fact that the big special interests that stand to benefit the most from, shifting wealth and power to them, alleviating their tax burden, putting it all on the poor, they're willing to pay, and pay pretty big time, to get powerful senators and congressmen to go along with their devious plan. And that's, I think, where you find a Lieberman, and even a Feinstein, Landrieu, a lot of them, they have their hand out, and if the envelope is heavy enough, you bought my vote. I think that's what it all adds up to. I don't see it any other way, really, right?
Well, and there's some ways where it's a little less obvious, but just as insidious, Dave, and we talked about this yesterday. You know, today was the day that there are 21 fundraisers in Sacramento, and we talked to the fellow Doug from the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, who had launched this effort for citizens to crash the parties and to show up and say, I'm not going to write a check. I want to get into this fundraiser to see my elected official. And what we talked about is the process that has this cute little name in Sacramento. It's called taking a walk. And we have repeated situations where legislation dies in committee because the people simply don't vote one way or the other. And they don't vote for it because that'll offend some consumers. They don't vote against it because that'll offend some contributors. And often the cases are flipped, but you get my point.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's big money that's driving politics, and a lot of Democrats say, all right, you can have my vote for a piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They sell out, just like Jake said.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Frank and Marina, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I went to see Sam Farr last night at the town hall meeting.
Uh-huh. Speak up a little bit, Frank.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Better.
Yeah, I went to see Congressman Farr last night at the town hall meeting.
Uh-huh.
I guess we had about 150 people, maybe 200 people there. And a lot of questions were asked, and of course Sam has answered them all, and not to everybody's liking, but he's pretty honorable. But I told him, I said, look, I commend you for your Peace Corps service and for learning a foreign language to help the people that you went over to help in farming, you know, agricultural and education when he was in a Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're the third largest country in population on this planet, but we have the most war veterans. Why don't we have peace veterans? You know, we're always, we have such a militaristic attitude in this country. I mean, we glorify war. We glorify the military. And I told him several times over the years that military budget has to be cut, Peter, because we could still defend ourselves on 50% of what we're paying now in taxes for the military budget.
Oh, I agree. I agree. It is obscene what we have done, and you know we've increased the honest budgeting for the Pentagon up to $450 billion, but the entire Iraq war is off the books. It's Enron accounting. We keep that offshore and pretend that it doesn't contribute to the deficit and that it doesn't really count. And I'm being generous there because the true budget, if you combine the Pentagon, the Department of Energy, which is largely funding military-related efforts, and the spook departments, you know, we are upwards of $650 billion a year. And of course, you know, again, most of that, not most, but a good portion of it is deficit spending.
Oh, absolutely. But the people that you have to worry about who are actually worrying about us is Russia and China. Because with this hegemony in Central Asia now, I mean, we've got bases in how many countries? 100 and God knows what.
I don't know exactly. Yeah.
104, I don't know, whatever. They're worried. Now, you know, Peter, China and Russia, or the former Soviet Union, broke off diplomatic relations in 1959 over ideology. Two combinations over ideology. But now, in the last couple of years, basically since this administration took hold, they're becoming good friends again. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but just about a year ago, they had 5,000 Russian troops training, doing joint exercises in China with the Chinese Army.
Hmm.
And they're doing some naval exercises. And they have a, I don't remember the name, but it's called a China something cooperative association or something. It's Russia, China, I think Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan,
mm-hmm.
and one other country. It's sort of like their version of NATO. And believe me, they are worried about what we plan to do.
Yeah.
And we're putting so much money. There's a an investigative journalist. His last name is Gagnon, G-A-G-O-N-O-N,
okay.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good documentary. You can find it on the Internet. I actually taped it last year on this the space, militarism of space by the United States.
Oh, right. Yeah,
it's
we're doing
scary.
It. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to drop nuclear warheads and laser beams and everything else. We want to target all these countries.
They're right.
So-called potential enemies. And they, you know, Putin's no dumbbell. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're looking at that, and the Chinese have been around for thousands of years. You don't push them around. And, well, like I told Sam last night, you got to reduce that military. He said, well, I believe in a strong military. I said, this is, everybody does. But the thing is, when is enough enough?
Right.
We have senior citizens with this phony Medicare program. They're complaining. They're not, you know, they're losing out. I mean, you've had people on your show talking about it and other talk shows. And
mm-hmm.
it's been in the papers and magazines. I said, senior citizens, God forbid you have to go to the doctor or you have an operation, you shouldn't have to worry whether
right.
you have a job or insurance or not. In this country, the wealthiest on earth, supposedly wealthiest, we're the biggest debtors now. But the thing is, this whole Iraq fiasco, the invasion and the occupation, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Perot, Faith, all the rest of them, you know them all. They're war criminals under international law and under the Geneva Convention. And when these senators keep supporting that, and I, you know what? I lost my faith in Boxer. When she first ran for U.S. Senate in 92,
right.
Everybody that knows me, Peter, from the Bay Area down to Los Angeles and parts between, no, I idolize that woman because she had, for the most part, a progressive record and pro-human. I'm a Teamster. She's pro-union, and she's for civil rights and environmental. But this change, and what I question is this dual allegiance. You know, we're all Americans. This is our country. Israel is not her country. That's like General Eisenhower telling FDR in World War II, hey, I'm German-American. I can't attack Germany. My ancestors, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Frank, I appreciate your comments. You're very well informed. Thank you for going to the town hall meeting with the congressman and expressing yourself last night.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
If John from Carmel is on the line, John, go to the library, get a book called The Bitter Heritage, written, published in 1967 by Arthur M. Schlesinger, Jr., the historian. It's only 144 pages long. Several months ago, you had asked Peter or somebody else on the show, I forget who it was, if they had a good book on Vietnam to read. He chronicled, what used to be called Indochina from the end of World War II through 1966.
So it's called Bitter Heritage.
Yes,
Arthur Schlesinger.
You know the historian.
Sure, I sure do. Yeah. All right, Frank, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B here in the Free Speech Zone. We're going to take a short break and come back. If you'd like to call, I'd like to take your call. 888-5 Peter B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. ARXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Tom Hartman. Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon. On KRXA 540.
K
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540, a library of sorts in the Santa Cruz Mountains, South 17 in Glenwood. Several hundred books have been dropped into the roadway. CHP going to run a few traffic breaks to remove all the books. Expect some heavy delays here. That's South 17 before Glenwood. As I said, about 100 books dropped into the lanes there. Also in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Old Santa Cruz Highway at Aldercroft Heights, it's a large tree limb blocking both of the lanes there. So a pretty busy ride as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No major problems to report on 101 as you leave the 85 interchange down through southern San Jose and make your way to Morgan Hill and eventually into Salinas. The home of your dreams at a price you never dreamed possible, Mossdale Landing, 8 builders, 40 home plans, and 34 model homes in Lathrop's first master planned community. Visit MossdaleLanding.com. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA.
We continue on the Rockin' Peter B. Collins Show.
Girl, you really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
This hour, we read to you a list of names from the Lieberman Wall of Shame. These are people who call themselves Democrats who so far either are supporting Senator Lieberman, who has bolted the party to cover, well, to try to save his own ass, to put it in simple street language. And I want to thank Bob Geiger, who compiled the list that we described to you. He's a contributor to Alternet, Huffington Post, Democrats.com. And I understand you make some appearances with my man Mike Newcomb on KPHX in Phoenix. Is that right, Bob?
Indeed I do, Peter. It's good to be with you.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thank you for taking the trouble to track this down. What was your method of trying to identify the people who either have thrown their support to Lieberman or remain uncommitted?
You know, Peter, it's a little bit like finding a needle in a haystack politically, because I actually cover the Senate full-time, and it's much easier when you're dealing with roll call votes for which there is a congressional record, and, you know, obviously they keep very strict track of those kind of things. With this in particular, what I have heard is that ethically they cannot announce support against a sitting senator on their websites unless it's a campaign website. So what I did at first was I went out to their Senate websites, tried to find something on their official websites. For those who are up for re-election, I went out to their campaign websites and found nothing. What I also decided to do, because I had people emailing me all these quotes from June and July and early August, and I said, no, a lot changes after the votes are actually counted in Connecticut, and we need to hear what they say in the post-August 8th world. And so I just started emailing the press contacts that I had and calling the offices and calling the communications directors, the press secretaries, and the chiefs of staff. And so I've compiled
I can just hear their response.
Quotes.
Bob, we're going to get back to you. I'm sure a lot of them didn't want to really make a public statement right away.
Well, you know, they do kind of duck you, and then when you do get them, most of them, the vast majority of them, have come out with a one-sentence, very sterile phrase, and then I actually just got an email from a reader saying that they called one of the Senator Biden's office today and was told that the woman who I got the quote from, that yes, he is supporting the Democratic nominee, Ned Lamont, was not qualified to make that statement.
Ooh.
If she made it, but that person happens to be the press secretary for Senator Biden. So I'm seeing at least one unconfirmed case of perhaps them backtracking on what little they have said.
Like in
this case, you know, a staffer at Senator Biden's office telling one of my readers who lives in Delaware that that's not true, and that I should take Senator Biden off of that column, and that Elizabeth Alexander, who gave me that quote, and I have the email where she says it, was not qualified to make that assertion on behalf of Senator Biden. The only problem is this woman is the press secretary for Senator Biden.
Now, do I understand the Mary Landrieu of Louisiana and Ben Nelson of Nebraska have affirmatively decided to support Lieberman?
Yep, they have definitely affirmatively decided that. And as I said, Peter, I've confirmed these with their offices directly, and not gone by necessarily press reports, unless it's from, multiple sources.
Yeah. Now,
or a speech they gave that's documented or something like that.
Do people go into Melman spin where they just say, well, we're going to let the voters of Connecticut decide? Or?
Oh, yeah, we actually have a few of those right now. I did get a contact from Senator Lincoln's office in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And like Mark Pryor, she's on the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Pryor, of course, what I wrote about yesterday was he's one of the leaders of that committee, and yet he's not supporting the Democratic candidate in Connecticut. Blanche Lincoln, also of Arkansas, is on that committee as well. And what I heard from her office today directly from them was that she's going to remain neutral and that she's going to let the voters of Connecticut decide.
Wow. It's just amazing because you have to imagine maybe Lieberman has a Polaroid camera.
I guess it's like that old line about somebody has pictures of these guys playing golf with Satan.
Yeah, or something like that. Maybe poker over at the Watergate, or, maybe they have a Jack Abramoff connection. I don't know.
And in some cases, Peter, what I heard from Tim Johnson's office from South Dakota, for example, from his communications director, was that he's a little bit baffled as to why people are even asking him, and he doesn't feel the need to make a statement about this because the people of his state really don't care. And I think that statement is probably true, but it kind of misses the point about why this is an issue.
Yeah. And when you look at it, certainly the Republicans have practiced party discipline well past the fault line. But there are moments when I admire it and say, Democrats really need to emulate that. And if they're going to have a political party, then they got to play by those rules.
Oh, sure. I mean, when I was in the military, one of the things that we were taught was while you don't need to respect your enemies, you need to respect their abilities and not take anything for granted.
Yeah.
And if that means that you fight fire with fire, then so be it. Now, obviously, this isn't combat and this isn't the military, but I'm with you. I don't think much of the Republican Party, but one thing they are very good at is that they're disciplined, they force order, and they don't suffer with some of the same ethical constraints that we Democrats do. So,
yeah.
Which gives them a lot more leeway, and we do need to emulate them in that way and perhaps be as ruthless as they are if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, I'm one of the people who've been rooting for Ned Lamont all along. I also rooted for Chuck Panaccio in Pennsylvania, for Paul Hackett in Ohio. I wanted to see a real across-the-board challenge to the status quo of the Democratic Party this year. Are you seeing any potential similar polarities in other Senate races around the country? Are there any centrists like Lieberman who are in trouble with a more liberal challenger?
That's a little bit hard to see. You mean centrist Democrats or Republicans?
No, Democrats.
I don't really think so. I mean, other than perhaps Akaka in Hawaii, he's being challenged by Ed Case, but Akaka is very liberal and Ed Case is a centrist.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to go into a very blue state in Hawaii and say this guy Akaka, who I believe is close to 80 years old and who served in the Senate for a long, long time, is no longer good for Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that primary comes up on September 12th.
Because there are a lot of us here in California who wish that there had been a significant challenger for Dianne Feinstein this year on the same grounds.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but I do have to say, as somebody who is so boring and has no life that I read the congressional record every day, and I actually have a spreadsheet, Peter, of every roll call vote made in the Senate. I have to say that Dianne Feinstein, I have to give her credit for not being as bad as voters and Democrats in California might think she is.
Well,
because when it comes to
the
hundreds of roll call votes she makes, she actually does the vast majority of the time vote a pretty progressive line.
I agree with that. It's on critical votes where she sides with the administration that I have problems. And in particular, she had to be really pushed hard to even support John Kerry's attempt to filibuster the Alito nomination. She finally did come around, but her inclination was not to support that. And so it's moments like that where I think she reveals herself as a Democrat light. That's how I'd put it.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for your work and get a life eventually. But in the meantime, stay in touch with us and keep those spreadsheets going, will you?
I don't know what it says about me that I like this stuff so much, but I will keep going.
BobGeiger.com if you want more. G-E-I-G-E-R. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Peter.
I'm Peter B. We're going to do this again tomorrow, so join me, will you? Same time, same stations.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
As the school year approaches, parents will begin to think about their child's social, emotional, and academic needs. I'm Nurse Rona, and this Sunday on Childhood Matters, we'll offer tips to help parents of children with special needs feel prepared for the new school year. Call us with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. His name is John Carr, a school teacher who was arrested in Bangkok, Thailand on sex charges and now faces a murder charge in the 1996 death of JonBenet Ramsey. Authorities plan to bring him back to the United States this weekend. CBS News correspondent Aaron Moriarty has been following this case.
If, in fact, this suspect is proven to be the mystery intruder, the person who wrote that bizarre ransom note, and the man who brutally murdered a little girl on Christmas night, the Ramsey family will finally be vindicated. But it comes too late for her mother, Patsy Ramsey, who died in June after a long battle with cancer.
John Ramsey, in a statement issued today, says his wife did know before she died that investigators were closing in on a suspect. Lynn Wood is the Ramsey family's attorney.
I was aware that there was an ongoing effort in conjunction with federal agents to try to ascertain the identity and location of this particular individual. So it's been in the last 3 months.
Wood refuses to divulge how the Ramseys knew Carr, but he says they gave police information about him before he was identified as a suspect. Federal drug investigators say they've reeled in a big fish on the high seas. Reputed Mexican drug kingpin Javier Aureliano Felix was on a yacht in the Pacific when they closed in. He's charged in the United States as the leader of the gang that dug elaborate tunnels under the border to move tons of marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. New developments in the airliner bombing plot. Scotland Yard says a person arrested yesterday has been released without charge. But CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports from London that 23 suspects arrested last week will continue to be held.
Lawyers for the police spent 8 hours in front of a judge today presenting the evidence they say they have against each of the suspects in their custody in that liquid bomb plot. At the end, the judge agreed that the suspects could remain in police custody without yet being charged. So the police have more time to question, more time to gather some evidence.
Another blow for the family of cyclist Floyd Landis, who's battling charges he used performance-enhancing drugs to win the Tour de France. Landis's father-in-law was found dead in his car in a San Diego parking garage, an apparent suicide. Nicole Nason of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration announced